Good morning, and welcome to Family Life. Your host, Shalina Muhammad and Dr. Nadia Muhammad. This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellent, Mirad Speaks. Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I greet the listening audience and the peace of As-Salaam Alaikum. Dr. Nadia Muhammad will be joining us near month end of September for our anniversary show. This week's discussion, Family Life, we have honored and distinguished guests. The Mirad Muhammad, an erudite of the boxing world, that once tagged him as the kid promoter. However, these days, he has gotten a bit older and much wiser. Mirad Muhammad, a native of Newark, New Jersey, has earned his niche among the major promoters in the world. Mirad's introduction into boxing was through traveling the world with the great Muhammad Ali. He was only 16 years old then, and for 10 years, he was Ali's security man. Boxing intrigued him, and traveling with Ali sparked his interest in becoming a promoter. His accomplishments were numerous, beginning with becoming the first African-American to receive a promoter's license in the state of New Jersey in the mid-1970s. The kid promoter formed his own company in 1984 and became the youngest boxing promoter in the country. Mirad Muhammad is an innovator in his field and was the first promoter to have a professional boxing event held and televised behind prison walls. This was unheard of and was never considered a possibility until he went to work on it. Rahway State Prison was the host to HBO and the world for the unprecedented bout between then-inmate James Scott against the most talked-about WBA number one light heavyweight contender of his day, Eddie the Flame Gregory, who later became Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. The show was also a first for HBO in the way of boxing events and would take home an award for the best sports program of the year. Mustafa Muhammad would later go on to be the light heavyweight champion of the world. Under the promotion of Mirad, Eddie KO'd Marvin Johnson in 11 rounds, becoming Mirad's first world champion in Indianapolis. All in all, 11 shows were produced from behind prison walls. Funds from the shows went to the State Victims Fund and allowed prisoners to pay for food, clothing, and housing for their families, which enabled them to get off of the welfare rolls. Opening the door seemed to be a trademark of his promotion. He retained a list of successful first efforts to his promotional credit, beginning in 1998. Mirad Muhammad has been the promoter for the former undisputed light heavyweight champion of the world, Roy Jones Jr. Jones voted Fighter of the Decade for his reign in the 1990s by the Boxing Writers Association of America. Murad Muhammad promoted the first sporting event ever held at Radio City Music Hall in New York. The event was star-studded historic evening with featured Roy Jones Jr. in a championship bout against David Telesco, an international songstress supreme, Ms. Whitney Houston, captivated the audience by singing America the Beautiful. In addition, Murad Muhammad is responsible for introducing the Jordan brand and Nike into professional boxing. He brought real fights back to Madison Square Garden Network with ratings escalating to unfamiliar peaks. Murad Muhammad is known for going where no other man will go and has proved this by promoting fights in Tunica and Biloxi, Mississippi. He brought world championship boxing to the Grand Casinos, putting them on the map of big boxing, and they now command seven-figure site fees. He has promoted fights at Valley's Park Place and Foxwoods Resort and Casino. At Foxwoods, not only did he make history by promoting the fight with the highest grossing revenue drop in the casino, Willie's Prep and Miles Griffin, Joey Giardiello, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Patrick Ewing. It was Valley's where he introduced the first title fight in the state of New Jersey, and then he advanced down to Boardwalk, adding the Sands, formerly the Brighton, the Playboy Hotel, and Harrah's Marina. Harrah's was the site Muhammad chose to hold the first televised heavyweight championship bout in 50 years, featuring Larry Holmes and versus Scott Frank. NBC television sees the highest primetime ratings to the boxing archive for the event. Also pursuing the boxing annals, we wrote that the 1990 Mirage achieved yet another major first, with Mike Tyson versus Razor Ruddock. It was so since he did it twice, Tyson versus Ruddock 1 and 2, grossed over $117 million. The combined bouts created the first highest gross revenue for pay-per-view television. Early on in his career, the kid promoter, such as light heavyweight stars, the WBC champions, Matthew Scott Muhammad, Dwight Muhammad, Kuwait, and WBA champion Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. Promotions featuring these fighters led to sellout crowds during the 1990s in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, at the same spectrum. Rod's fight poster hung next to the great world-renowned Harlem Globetrotters, the all-star Philadelphia 76ers, He was the first promoter to bring televised boxing events along with HBO television to Philadelphia. And for this major achievement, he was awarded the Key to the City and the Liberty Bell Award. Rod has had many other sellout venues in Atlantic City and Las Vegas. He proudly notes that any fighters that he has worked with and promoted have gone on to be world-ranked contenders and champions, made great money, and earned a well-remembered place in boxing history. No bums have ever been promoted by Murad Muhammad. Some of the most notable fighters that have been promoted by Murad Muhammad are Juan Villaforte, Wilfredo Gomez, Savio Pedrosa, Derek Smoke Dana, Johnny Tapia, Manny Pacquiao, and Oliver Ortega, all of whom were world featherweight champions. Kennedy McKinney, two-time world featherweight champion. Vince Phillips, featherweight champion. Buddy McGirt, welterweight champion. Mustafa Camacho, middleweight, world contender. Javier Cotillejo, world middleweight champion. Arthur Williams, world cruiserweight champion. Imamo Maceo, world cruiserweight champion. Roy Jones Jr., Matthew Saad Muhammad, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, all lightweight champions. Marvis Frazier, Rodney Frazier, Tim Weatherspoon, two-time world heavyweight champion, Tony Marshall, number one world contender, Aaron Davis, heavyweight world champion, James Bone Crusher Smith, heavyweight world contender, Donovan Razor Ruddock, and Larry Holmes, world heavyweight champion. He is also credited with bringing the great Muhammad Ali out of retirement to face the heavyweight champion, Larry Holmes. Rod introduced Holmes to the incipient IBF, and upon Larry's acceptance of their championship belt, put the IBF on the road to the success it enjoys today. Showtime Cable Network, a household name to the boxing shows he promoted on their networks. He promoted the middleweight championship bout between Reggie Johnson and Steve Collins and the famed Brendan Byrne Arena. At the famed Brendan Byrne Arena in New Jersey, and Showtime televised the event on an unheard of Wednesday night. Another champion was added to the list when Reggie Johnson won the WBA championship belt. He promoted bouts in Lake Tahoe, Reno, Las Vegas, as well as promoting fights that have taken him all over the world. He has promoted fights in such countries as Venezuela, Panama, Philippines, Argentina, and Puerto Rico. I'm going to take a few more minutes because this show, I'm taking my time to listening audience to list the achievements. Because this show is dedicated to Mr. Muhammad's children and the youth of the world. And if you'll be patient with me, I want to complete the listing, because if you ever heard Malad Muhammad, when he starts, he keeps going. And these historical events are important, so let me take a few more minutes to finish his achievements. This is his legacy. This is his history. And we need to take the time to iterate this so that we can discuss it in depth in a few minutes. We ended off with the countries he promoted fights in. Again, Venezuela, Panama, Philippines, Argentina, and Puerto Rico, where he sold out the Robert Clemente Coliseum, holding the largest drawing in Puerto Rico. Malad Muhammad shocked the world when he created boxing history by promoting the former middleweight champion Roy Jones against the heavyweight champion of the world, John Ruiz. This feat had not been replicated in 106 years. No one said it could be done, but it was done. The televised promotions, some of the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, ESPN, MSGTV, USA, Showtime, Closed Circuit, HBO, and paid per view. Very important, especially to the youth. Malad Muhammad is known as a resourceful, loyal, committed, and determined pathfinder. His selfless spirit is the reason for his many accomplishments. One thing is certain, Malad Muhammad will be heard from. The one kid promoter is still at it all. Malad Muhammad, welcome to the show.
You know, I want to thank you, my niece, my beautiful, loving female. You're a great testament and an honor to those out there that understand they are female. Most females are very shy. Most of them do not want to come from behind the doors. You don't have a skill. And if you understand that skill is one soul, and that's our Father, Adam and Eve. And if we can recognize that, we'll have more of you. Yes, those are great athletes. And yes, I have done that and many more. But I want to say, my beautiful sister Selena, I call you my niece. But in the Islamic world, the woman is our first priority. The woman is the foundation in which we men stand upon. We swim the rivers with the shore, with the sharks. But we got to come back to the land, the shore, in which we stand on. And that's the female. We are not water babies. We're not supposed to be in the water too long. But we always have to return back home. I am so proud, so honored to be able to say, Selima Muhammad and Dr. Nadira Muhammad, two females that is my niece. Both of them have a capability I offer you this show and look at you today. Are so good in what you do. I'm quite sure your husband, Dean, know you take charge in the home. And you're broadcasting from the home. This is the home. You don't fear anything. You can't see it, but you can hear. And as long as you're not on stage, that you have to look at her up and down. Just hear her voice, hear her heart. And so I am surely honored. Thank Allah that one like yourself would take time out to read part of my history. And sometimes one don't hear his history. Yes, he has manifested. But when you can hear one to read part of my history, it makes me thank God that a good name is better than gold. And sometimes I say, can I do all of that? So I'm honored to be on your show, and I'm honored to ask any questions that you will give to me. And you say, if God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I love saying that because I have God to govern my tongue. And don't let me be big-headed, but be able to answer your question. That's my humble opinion.
Excellent. Thank you. I started this broadcast dedicating this show to your children and the youth of the world. And again, wanted to state the history in a format that can be referenced through audio. With regard to your legacy, what is the most formidable of your life and your career you want to leave your children and the youth of the world?
I have to honestly say, my mother. Oh, did I love that woman. I love that woman so much. It's in my movie. All I wanted to do was lay up under her and hear her heartbeat. And I got in a lot of trouble because my older sister, Joan, didn't get beaten. My younger sister, Zara, did not get beaten. Shaheen did, we called him Musa at that time, child there. He would laugh at my mother. She couldn't understand that. And he would laugh. Nothing hurt you. And mama couldn't hit hard enough to penetrate. But he loved his mother. And so I was that child that defined her. I did everything she told me not to do. And yes, I got caught. So she will wear out your tail. Clean her legs and lock it. And you can't get out. And she will wear your butt. My mother's only 4 feet 11. But she was a strong female. And she gave me so much love and affection that I used to sit by the door with my coat on. Where you going, boy? What's wrong with you, mama? No, I got to work. I said, yes, I'm going to go with you. I'll help you. You can't go with me. And I'll walk outside the elevator, outside the hall. And she gave me that look. If she gave you that look, you better turn around and go back in because she's getting ready to wail you. You don't get in that house. I get back, I go back in. And I did that month after month after month, and one day she said, okay, come on. And I walked with my mother, and she stopped at the store before he got on the bus, and she brought some cheese and crackers, and, oh, we're going to have lunch. I would help her clean the office of my Jewish brother's doctor's office. and I would drop on the floor, and I would come to her and say, are we ready for us? Not now, son. Are we ready for us? Not now, son. Is it time for lunch? Okay. She would put that white, beautiful tablecloth over the desk and lay out her crackers and her cheese. And I think we had some jelly. I was in the seventh heaven. I had my mama. That was the greatest moment of my life, walking with my mother off the bus in his beautiful office. And I would help her clean. So I stayed up under my mother. And my mother wanted me to be everything I could be. And so she gave me that motivation that I had to help her. And I knew I had to help her. We was in the courtroom, and my father, may God be pleased with him, in paradise. I love my father because of my mother. I didn't think he was a good daddy. But you said anything wrong about your father to her, you're going to get that backhand upside your head. One day I said to my mother, Mama, he doesn't take care of us. He's a bum. I said, boy, you know Virgin Mary? I said, well, you talk about Virgin Mary, but I don't know Virgin Mary. He said, well, let me tell you something. Virgin Mary had a baby, Jesus, without the aid of a man. I'm trying to figure out, what is she talking about? She said, I'm not Virgin Mary. You wouldn't be there to work for your dad. And my God, I started loving my daddy. And we was at the courtroom. He owed her money. And the judge said, you don't pay this money, you're going to jail. I'm pulling on her coat. And she asked, could she talk to us? He said, sure. I said, Mama, you want to send Daddy to jail? I said, how are we going to eat, boy? I said, Mama, don't send Daddy to jail. I'll feed you. I'll feed her. And she looked at me at 7 years old, and she trusted me, and she would not send my dad to jail. So I went out selling newspaper, and I would run home with my money, cash money, $10, Mama, Mama. You know, there was a commercial, look, no cavity. Well, that didn't happen in my house. We didn't go to the dentist like that. Look, Mama, I got $10. And she said, whoa, that's a lot of money, boy. You was working, you did good. I said, yours. She said, no, it's yours. I said, no, Mama, that's your money. And I used to come home, and she would give me 50 cents to get in the skating ring, 50 cents for the skates, and 50 cents for some candy. Now, you know, back then, it only cost a penny for candy or a nickel for a potato chip. I was having fun. I never, ever said to my mother, where's my change? Then it became 20. Then it became 50. Then it became 100. And that's how I became an entrepreneur. So it was my mother that motivated me from the necessities that we wanted in life. And I went out in the world. And I kept evolving. And then one day, my oldest brother said, I'm moving out. Can I go with you? Musa, you got to take me with you. I love my brother Musa. He was a strong, you jump on me, you had to deal with Musa. Musa could fight. Everybody in the prize didn't want to mess with Musa. He said, sure, you want to go with me? Salima, I was just turning 14. My mother said, you leaving me? I said, Mama, I got to go to the world. I got to go to the world, Mama. She said, but you leaving me? I had to ask him for my bunk bed. She gave it to me. And my brother allowed me to be with him and four other brothers. He called us the 48 Favorite Three brothers. I was number six. All of them were much older than me. The oldest one was at least 15 years older than me. But then I learned. All of them, Muhammad and Mahina, you name them. We lived together. There was no TV. You had to speak in the morning you had to get up for those prayers in the morning, and you go out and make some money. So I used to ask Ahmed to take me to the temple. Take you to the temple. You got gas money? No, I don't have gas, man. Well, you better start walking. And I had to walk from Second Avenue all the way to South Orange Avenue, but I sold a lot of papers. When I came home, I had my rent money, which was only $22.50. I had a lot of money back then. So I grew up with men that taught me to stay away from trouble. You don't need this. Oh, you ain't doing that. And so, but if you were short 50 cents, they gave you one day to get that 50 cents, so you got to go back to mom. So I have to say, it was my mother that motivated me. And when people came around my mother, they used to say, oh, I've been married for 30 years. Oh, I've been married for 35 years. Oh, yes, I have 5 children, 6 children. So ever since I was 7 years old, I said, I want to grow up and be just like that. I've been married for years. I want to find me a wife. But the Honorable Ed Mama taught us that. He taught us to get married. He taught us half our religion was marriage. We had to go find that female. I found her. I found her. She was a school teacher. She was very highly intelligent. But she assumed that because these men was in their 30s or late 20s, that I had not, she knew I was not that old, but she had an idea that I was at least 25 to 26. And that young lady, that pretty gorgeous young lady that taught all our little children and sister prayer of Muhammad, I said, that's my wife. Anything I look at, anything I see, I believe I can get it. And they told me, too much. She's older than you. You're not going to get her. You can never tell Barham Muhammad what he is not able to do. So, yeah, I got her. And she asked the hard question, how old are you? So how old do you think I am? She said, you've got to be at least 26. I said, nope, 24. Nope, you've got to be 21. Nope. Sat up and said, you're not 21. No. Okay, you're 20. So I'm not. 19. I said, no. Oh, my God, how old are you? 10 years old. And she started crying. So I said, I'm in love with a baby. Now, in that song, you can't have no girlfriend. Ain't no significant other. I said, Mama, I'm getting married. Oh, no, you are not. Yes, I am. That woman's too old for you, boy. No, you're not going to have Mama sign this piece of paper. You have to sign this piece of paper, Mama. She said, no, I'm not signing that paper. My mother believed in who I was and what I'm able to do. Something was a click in her head. This boy knows something I don't know. I'm going to trust her. And she signed that piece of paper. The greatest thing I ever had, my own restaurant at 14. So everyone thought I was old with my brother Shaheed and Saeed. I went from my doing that and opened up my steak and takes that I met your father. And so I had 3 restaurants and I had 4 trucks on the road. And I was doing well at 15, 16 years old. I bought my first one-family house at 17. They said, you're too young. I said, how old do you have to be? 26, there's a war going on. I said, I'm 26. I don't believe that. But when I put that cash, maybe you say money on the wood makes the bank look good. When I gave them that cash, they said, that's your house. And I got that home and went and got my wife, and she thought I was breaking an entry and walked in that beautiful one-family house. And she said, you won't get in trouble. We in someone else's house. I said, I can't be house. Ain't no furniture here. She said, she, you won't get in trouble. I said, no, this is your house. I bought this house. She said, you're too young to buy a house. I thought I was too young. Anyway, the daughter home, and everybody started coming. Excuse me, young man, is your mother home? They were bringing all kinds of plates of food, and I said, okay. And we were playing. She would act like she's a mother. And she said, oh, thank you. It's nice to talk to him. And I can honestly tell you, it's really every wife after that wife should love that woman. Because the woman and the wife, I always said that. I had a wife that said, no, you didn't marry me under the law. I said, well, if you want to go to hell, you go to hell. You're my wife. And I say, you're my wife. You're in my heart. You're my wife. And I have to honestly tell you, Shalima, my children, yes, I wanted so much for them. Because I wanted my children, I don't care if I adopted them or I have so many. I love children because of my first wife. However, I would not have made it. So Allah sent me females that had the ability to walk things out of life. And because of that reason, my morals are unbelievable. I travel with the great Muhammad Ali. I've seen women from all around the world. So my name back home was, by she is not on the bus or great. Well, that's Nick. I didn't want to go to the movies with them. I didn't hang out with them. I don't play games. I don't go into clubs. I didn't do anything. All I wanted to do was fast. Every 3 days, 72 days a week, 72 hours, pardon me, 72 hours a week, and I would have my dinner at home. I never ate out. Because my wife is a great cook, and I didn't eat nobody else at school. I'm traveling without me. I knew I'd at least be home the third day. And that's how I became the motivator, the stimulator, the individual that wanted to go to the world. Not for money. For you to do just what you did today. To read that my name, Muhammad, is better than gold. That's my humble opinion.
You know, you mentioned so many things, but historically. And to the listening audience, this program is sponsored by New Africa Excellent Mawaz Speaks, and we are blessed to have the Mawaz Muhammad here today. As a young child, you go into your story, and you're setting a platform for the youth. That foundation is family, that mother and that father. And however that family comes to you, what I find relatively important here, and the message to get across to our youth, is how legitimate your business has been, how clean your business has been in the boxing world. But in just as you were speaking of the first wife, Khadija, Khalifa Muhammad, and I say that for this reason, and all the beautiful wives and the wife he has today who support him. There's an old adage saying, you're only as good to a man as your second half. So this is imperative. The teacher taught all of the kindergarten students, Sister Clara Muhammad Elementary Secondary School. This is our legacy, our history. I want to talk about that organization that started the boxing world on a professional level called Cornerstone Enterprises. that involve yourself, my father, Abdul Muhammad Robert 7X, and other brothers. If you can go over that historical time frame for us and give us the year,
sure.
So that we understand. I know we have leaky brains, but just give me an estimate.
Time frame
that all started.
Girl, let me tell you something. I laugh because Mario, and that's a long story how I met that beautiful woman. Mario, I tell you, he will never remember dates. He don't even know his children's dates, but the one that was born.
It's the 70s.
It was the five brothers. And that was your father, who we made the president, because he was a very intelligent man, speak very well, a handsome guy. He's taller than all of us, so he was standing. And so we had to allow Muhammad, we had Bob Muhammad, we had Akbar Muhammad, and so it was all Muhammad. And I guess it was designed from Allah for us to be Muhammad, because we didn't know each other like that we took our name, but we was Muhammad. And our first office was on Bradford Place next to Rahman Ali Jewelry Store. So across the street was two phone booths. The number down, we give it up. First young lady, Miss Hyatt. You all know her name is Pitcher Muhammad. So when that phone booth was ringing, Pitcher would run across the street, and said, "Hello, this is Cornerstone Production, and can I help you?" "Yes, I'd like to speak to Maran Muhammad. Let me see if he's in his office. Hold on." Telephone. And I'm doing right across the street. This is Maran Muhammad. Telephone. And so we had to get two. So the two booths. So now one would ring, and I'm on the phone. The other one would ring, and she would answer that one. And that was our first secretary. And we springboard off the street into Raymond Boulevard.
Yes, I remember.
It was on, I think, the ninth or eighth floor. And we had a nice office. The name fits my recollection. Beautiful secretary. And we had a conference table. Now, I don't know why they used to let me speak. Only desks. I was like the oddball. Something to have to do with it. You should have sat there. But there was no phone on that desk. All the two phones, and then we end up with five phones on the conference desk. I was like, oh. So it was like the three stooges. When the phone rang, hello. Everybody's on the phone. So you would push that button. And we just ask to see what you want. And sometimes you want to have Abdullah. When we wanted to hear it, we stayed. We didn't, we cut off. So that's the way they would call us. And we started making deals. Of course, we stayed around Herbert. But Herbert was the type of man, Herbert Muhammad, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the brother of the Wallerstein Muhammad. And the manager of Muhammad Ali. But he said, "Oh, wait a minute, you all not going to talk to me at the same time." Now, he would have picked one, so he picked Baha. So he had to write notes to Baha what to say to Herbie. So we wanted to deal, and Herbie used to say, "Okay, brother, you got 5 minutes. He didn't say 10, 15, you got 5 minutes. It was like he had a time clock in his hand. All right, you got one more minute." So we had to get it in too. So when we travel, we used to get a suite. And we get in the suite, and we all had on, we were fighting over who was going to get the big side of the room and so forth. So then, you know, we had to duke it out. So it wasn't no big eyes or little you. So we had, so everywhere we went, here come those five brothers. Here come them five brothers. That's what they call us, the five brothers. So we used to go in the doctor's office and pick over the conference room. We need the temptations. We need every, you name them. They all came to Dante's office, a beautiful office on the 68th floor of the Pan Am building. And that's Rocket. Anyway, so I used to drive over there. Because I was at Cadillac, 1965, I forgot what year that Cadillac was. And I had a beautiful, gorgeous 71, and then I had a beautiful 1975 track. But we used to drive over there. And that was a K-10 miles for the guy with the flag who was at the Rockefeller Center. And Rockefeller Center, and I used to park our car over there. Come to find out, the train went right up under Rockefeller. We never had to pay all that gas, or we didn't know. And there's five of us, so we had a lot of people going over, because we didn't do nothing. We used to always have Baja talk. When they say, okay, y'all can speak. Only Abdullah spoke. Bilal didn't speak. Akbar didn't speak. So we had two people speaking. One to Herbert, one when we represent Cornerstone. And that was Cornerstone. Cornerstone, I'm telling you, and I'm not fabricating, I'm telling you right now, I would have been with all them brothers today. It was fun. We ordered, but we went and took care of business. We made sure we had this deal going, that deal going. We had so many deals going, that's unbelievable. But they made a mistake. Father, he was very close to Bilal, and he took Bilal overseas. Baha and Akbar was pretty close, so they went to Muhammad Ali in the desert. I was left by myself. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, am I ever been idle? So I told, I came out and sat out in the front with my the secretary. I said, can you find the commissioner of boxing? She said, sure. I got him on the phone. Mr. Lee. Oh, God, I deal with an agent. When he spoke to me, you couldn't hear whether he was black, Asian, or white. You couldn't tell it. And he said, what do you like to do? I said, I like to be a boxing promoter. He said, young man, if you listen to me, so many people like you have changed, did not listen. So there were no black boxing promoters. I said, okay, I would like to be a boxing promoter. He said, I'm going to send you to a young lady named Marion Wolf. To walk down the street, she's on Raymond Boulevard, and go to Consumer Affairs. So he was over top of Consumer Affairs, and that was his assistant. I walked in, and I said who I was, and she said, yes, Bob told me he was coming. And she is the one who helped me fill out these papers the way Bob wanted to be commissioner, a great tennis player. And I liked Marion. You could tell she was very bright and she had a great sense of humor. How would you like to come off out of this business here with? She said, young man, you know how much money I make? I said, yeah, so I'll take you to the moon. So she laughed and she said to me, I think he's trying to be friends, but I got six children. I don't care if you got 10. I said, I like your mind. I like your heart. And so she said, all right, I'll put it to you. That's with Althea Gibson. And we walk into Althea Gibson, and that was a showstopper. And the horn is blowing, the horn is blowing, the horn is blowing. So I thought, well, I was trying to be a boxing promoter. Maybe they know me. I'm waving to them. I realized it wasn't me. It was blowing that. It was done. So we went and we got our license from our third edition. We on. Oh, this is it. I'm getting ready to tell Cornerstone I'm going to be up in Pomona. And so my name started going out and they came back. I said, they said, Boston Pomona? Who's the number one contender? I said, I don't know. Who was the number four? I don't know nobody but Muhammad Ali. I knew Joe Frazier. I knew a few of them. But because I traveled with Ali, that's all I knew. So they laughed and said, how are you going to do boxing? You don't know nothing about boxing. I said, God is great. I said, I learned God will give it to me. So they said, yeah, you always talking that kind of stuff. Bing, 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 bing. So I said, all right, that's it. Y'all can keep Cornerstone. Y'all can keep all the money in the bank. Y'all can keep all the deals we got. Give me my piece of paper up there on the wall. They didn't want to give it to me. And to a lawyer that we love, named Norman Fishline, he was the consultant. He was a great lawyer. He always wanted a criminal lawyer. And he said, gentlemen, that piece of paper on the wall don't say Cornerstone. That piece of paper is not a corporation. That piece of paper says Gerard Marvin. That's an individual. You've got to give him his piece of paper. So they said, okay, we shook, I tapped up, I'm out of there. Come Baja. I said, where you going? He said, you're a promoter, and I'm a matchmaker. I can't do that here. I said, all right, we're brothers for life. When anybody talks about you got to accept the mother or father. Here, stay on the elevator, go downstairs. And hold it, Baja. Come on, we're going back up. We went up to the larger floor. And I walked in and I said, I need to see the owner of this law firm. And it was a young lady that I grew up with, the ward. And she said, Paul. I said, yes. And she was my, I love that girl. She was older than all of us, of course. Diana Ross was her. I swore this girl was Diana Ross. She acted like her, and yeah, like her, and all that. Anyway, so she introduced me to the boss. And the boss said, yeah, I heard about you. You're going to be a promoter. I said, how do you like to make some money? You want to double your money? Give me $50,000. He said, $50,000. I said, yeah. He said, deal, $50,000. So I said, all right, Baja, we got money. But guess what? We're going to Africa. He said, Africa? I can't go to Africa. I got to move my family. I got to put some furniture in the house. So I got them all that. And we go to Sim and buy these fields and suits. And he's dressed, I'm dressed. And I go get Henry Schwartz. I think now I knew if I go to Africa. Two black people coming from America, from slavery, going to Africa. I don't think we're a white boy. So I brought Henry Schwartz with us. So we all fly in. Me and Bob jumped in our suits coming out, and everybody laughed at us because it was 120 degrees. We had on wool suits. We've never been to Africa, so we didn't know how hot it was over there. So anyway, we finally get it. So everybody's sitting there waiting for the president. I said, tell the president that Muhammad Ali sent me here to speak to him. Whoa, we got in right away. We got in and I closed the deal. Jerry Eisenberg, this is no fabrication. Jerry Eisenberg wrote an article in the Star Ledger and wrote an article in the New York Post. And he said, why Don King was trying to get the green light but couldn't produce the green money. While Bob L. was trying to get the Arabs off their arm but can't produce the green money. There's a man in Ghana, Africa, from the United States of America, $10 million remaining for Al Muhammad, and that's what we have seen.
It's beautiful. I want to touch on a few things. Mistakes. There's never any mistakes. Everything in the divine path of life happened for a reason and a season. And I remember Raymond Boulevard because Tahara and I used to work sometimes in the office, and we would look at the different flyers that Cornerstone would post at, you know, Bramford Place. The listening audience, they had us working very young. We were 13, and they had us working at the concession station. I shared this story before, and we were there, and we were selling food, and Sahara and I looking at each other, was like, there's no cash register here. And we were like, we are the cash register. So we had to figure out the money in our head to get the people back to the change. We would tell them, could you just give us a five and that? Can you just give us a chance or not? We would tell the people what we wanted so it would be easier to get back to change. They put us to work very young. So it goes back to that foundation of what our beautiful brother was talking about, how our parents guide us. May Allah be pleased with my dad, my mother. Hadia Muhammad was an avid supporter. But I do remember a few things you mentioned. Althea Gibson, she had a clinic, a tennis clinic in East Orange. And I remember, this is what I thought was so profound about her, she had various instructors teach you tennis. But that woman, at the end of class or the beginning of the class, would come out and introduce herself. You have worked among some of the greats. Integrity. We've had Flagman, the former FBI agent, on this show. And he talked, well, he just came right out and said, well, I was the only clean person in boxing. Can you please tell us why that was so important to you?
It was a goal. I had the twins thrown in. Detectives, state troopers, police officers, private detectives, private eyes, brought in so many law enforcers, I wanted to go to the top. And when you speak of Althea Gibson, my first fight with her, Marion and I was standing there, and she said, young man, this fight is not going to happen. I said, why are you saying that? She said, there's a storm coming. I said, well, let's do the fight right away and get out of here before the storm. Well, it did. It canceled my deal. All the rain was up. We were ready to go. The next day, Tony Mullaney wrote the Star Ledger. And Muhammad is not saved by the bell. What bell? Hurricane bell. I said to Marion, they ain't stopping me. And so we did it the next week, and that was supposed to be a loss. And over 7,000 people showed up. And he had it all on Bloomfield Avenue at School Stadium. And it was a war. The first fight was just a war. And we did so well. And someone came to me and said, you know, Marion, I believe, is still in that cast. I said, tell him to keep it because he just made $100,000. I ain't that girl worked hard. I didn't care what she took, and I didn't believe it at all. But the point is that that was success on the first major promotion in Spoon Stadium. I went outdoors, and I learned that traveling out east because I came from the top. So I didn't know how to start off as being just another promoter. I wanted to always be outstanding. The flag man called me, and he said, Rod, you keep calling me. He said, yes, you know, all speaking at the Senate. He said, yes. And I said, but you have not called me to speak. I believe I got a lot to say. He said, you got Roy Jones Jr. I said, yes. He said, can you give me Roy? Now I'm really angry. He jumps over me to Roy. So I said, Roy don't know what I know in my teaching. He's not a boxing promoter. He said, all right, how about Friday? I said, tumor day. He said, how about the following? All right, I'll do it. He'll call me on Friday. I never got that call, and then I found out that he was indicting all of them. I said, oh, Lord, effort. I'm after him to call me and let me talk. He didn't call me. Didn't have anything on me. And Arrow admitted the fraud. I remember I was about 3 years ago. Oh, that didn't happen. They indicted the 21 counts of fraud. Tell you why I believe he got away. Because he's informed. However, he's Jewish, he's white, he's a lawyer. So, yes, they can get away with certain things. But when he took down the whole boxing and Nino Amar because he had unlimited resources. And, of course, he took Don King and indicted him within 6 years twice. But Don won on a hung jury on the first one, a hung jury on the second one. But when he retired, I told my executive vice president, Solomon Dean, go get him. And this was his words. You will never be able to get that man highly decorated from the president of the United States, Bill Clinton, to come to this corporation. I said, good, that's the way you say. Going to be a failure is a try. And when he called me, he said, man, he said, come around, I'll be honored to join him. And that's how we began. And that was my goal. I wanted the highest penalties as part of my organization. And he accepted. That's my home opinion.
History, boy, I tell you. Rahway State Prison. And I think, and I want to ask two questions here. Why Rahway State Prison? And then, you made a clear statement that some of the funding went back into the community. See, this is important to speak about here. To support state victims' funds, allowing prisoners to pay for food, clothing, and housing for their families. Enabling them to get off welfare rolls. Why Rahway State, and then talk about the funding provided for those prisoners and their families?
You know, I never thought about any prison. But I did have a brother crying, you shouldn't do the crying. And I can say it today, so I'm so proud of him. And they gave him 25 years, him and four of us. I was just a young kid. And I saw my brother get those 25 years. But there was one amongst them. His name was Waleed. He was older than them. He came from the Air Force. And he was a very intelligent man following down the Elijah Muhammad. And he stood up and he said, "Honor, can I speak?" He said, "Go right ahead." He said, "You know, you wasted your time to our time. So why don't you just cut it short and tell us if we are guilty or not guilty. Cut it short. 25 years for you, 25 years for you, 25 years for you." And I couldn't believe that. He gave it away like it was nothing. It was like dealing cards out. But that's my brother. I have a love for my brother. So he wouldn't call. He had to find him. You write him, he'll write you back. But he loves to read, he loves to write. So he was known for that. I didn't want to write him, I wanted to see it. But they kept moving. He's in from Norway to Trenton, from Trenton to Yardsville, to Yardsville. I mean, he's just sending them all over the country. There's nothing I could do. I can't find them because he don't want no one to visit him. So I get a phone call from a young man that we all know. Very quiet, but very intelligent. He wanted to be an entrepreneur. And his name was Woolly Rat. You ask me, who was Woolly Rat's wife? So I get a call from Woolly Rat and said, "Ron, you should come to Rahway State Prison." I said, "Come to Rahway State Prison for what?" He said, "There's a boxer here, and he can fight." I said, "Well, what is he in for?" "He's in for violation of parole, but he also got a hung jury on double murder." Why would I want to go there? Well, I said, "Okay," because I knew Willie. Again, I didn't know really him per se, but he's always short. I mean, short in the clothing and speak very well. And very kind to so many people. And his bakery store was just a few steps away from my steak and cake. And Marley's steak and cake was your daddy. Go get it. I found another building. Found another building. I like it. It's my town truck. I said, "What are we going to do with mail trucks?" I said, "We're going to gut them, food on the wheel." I said, "We would have patent that, would be a DNA today because that's what they use it. Meal on the wheel." Back then. So when you said that the old truck's pulling up with mail, we pulled up with steak and tape. 99 cents got us paid fairly and full, another name. And he came to the truck, and it was so good. He said, "How many steaks you got there?" We had trucks there. We had about 100 and something, maybe 200 steaks. He said, "I want all of them. Every last one of them." Gave them away to the people in Sicily Hall. That was our best seller. And so some trucks paid off, because we came pulling up. But 99 cents, everybody wanted to come to you. That was your father's idea. He always came to me with my... Until, of course, I made partners on the ideas. So I had a big love for Abdullah. So I come there, and I saw the gentleman. He had on a ratty T-shirt. It looked like his shoes were flattened, but he was in great shape. I said, "Can you fight?" He said, "Can you promote?" I'm the greatest promoter of all time. He said, I'm the greatest fighter of all time. I said, okay. What to do with this? But it sounds interesting. So I decide to, I'm a movie fanatic, but I don't look at movies like everybody. Movies tell me what they're thinking they want to be. They all want to be. They're acting. But they're acting out what's the present is all about and what's coming. That's how I see movies. So I go to the movie was called The Network. So I go then and I see this movie, The Network. In this movie that I saw, it talked about Walter Cronkite. You know, long story short, when he paid off because Walter turned around and said, stick your head outside the window. So hell no, I'm not going to take it no more. So he changed that. And they had the Black Panther Party. Three white guys with suitcases for all this money. Never know how much it was, but he got suitcases. It's got to be at least $1 million. And then three Black Panthers shot Walter Cronkite. When the cameras, the curtain come up, they stood and shot him down like they did Malcolm. So I go to Governor Burns, father, the man over all the institutions, the Attorney General, the Senator took me there. And I said, you know, Mr. Governor, I can stop that from going on in Rahway. Because in Rahway, they were burning the prison down. In Rahway, they were killing people. In Rahway, Wharton got shot him up. Billman was going up in smoke. So I said to the governor that if you allow me to handcuff them mentally and give them a trade, most of those men don't want to be carpenters, don't want to be lawyers, doesn't want to be a doctor, don't want to be a bricklayer, but they can fight. That's who's tearing up the prison. So he said, well, young man, how that's going to help us? I said, I'll pay the correctional office double time and a half. I'll bring media to the state. I said, I'll make sure Rahway is less money. I will feed the inmates. I will clothe the inmates. I'm giving what they need for their boxing gloves. Then I will pay for their health, their legal fee, and able to take their children off of welfare. He said, you're going to do all that? I said, yes, you got a victim program, but you ain't got no money yet. Program. He said, what you want? I said, I want a school city. He said, school city of Rahway. You got it. I said, no. A school city of all the institutions in this state. They gave it to me. When I walked out of there, Serena, I might have had $10 in my pocket for that. Everybody tell me, how are you going to do this? You don't have the money. I said, God is great. I live by the Quran. And when I heard and read that Holy Quran said, get a piece of this dunya, need a piece of this earth. We deserve to have a piece of the earth. I said, whoa, all this time, they tell us we can't be rich. We can't have our money. This ain't for us. So that's Satan. It had nothing to do with what the Quran is saying. That's my creation. And the women thought it was putting on clothing, covering their head. Oh, I don't talk about the physical. I learned that from even I want to see my homie. Get out of that physical. Well, they call their headpiece, and they got a name for it. But the names they were given to them had nothing to do with a headpiece. It had something to do with covering the blessing that Allah sends to us, and it's just for you. Exactly. So So if you wear your exam, then you think that's what it's supposed to be. So I'm studying this class, and I hear people say, do not call the Quran not Arabic. It's called Arabic Quran. No, that's what the Imam taught me, that that's what they do to you over in Saudi Arabia. Ain't no Arabic Quran. It can't be. That's the Arab language. It's Arabic Quran. Don't forget it. That's a script from all languages. So if you use Arabic Quran, you are following Satan. Oh, I learned all of this. So now in my mind, to believe in what you think you ought to do. So I signed that piece of paper with $10 in my pocket. And the car that took me there, because I don't know how I got this raggedy car that Khabibi told me, why don't you get rid of it? You don't drive like that. I said, well, I'm going to get that first. And I parked it far away until the inmate said, what the hell are you doing in that old raggedy car? I said, it's antique. I'm building it. I said, it's the only thing I had at the time. But when I saw that movie, and they shot that white man down, and in the back, they were jumping up, we got the ratings, we got the ratings, yeah, yeah. I said, there it is. Thank you, Allah. They in the ratings business. So I went into New York, went on this beautiful double office that they had up there named Bill Caton and Jim Dickerson. Took them up and found out they wrecked all the old fights to the network. Excuse me, gentlemen, how do you like to be my consultant? Oh, we don't do live boxing, Bob. Are you out your mind? We do. I say, yeah, but you know all of the prisoners. And you're Jewish. I'll give you a percentage off the top. You don't have to worry about what I spent, what I lost. You don't need to know my book. But if it's $1, you got the percentage off the top. You put that in writing, I sign it. Week later, meet me at Time Warner. I didn't even know who was Time Warner, didn't know where it was, but I found Time Warner. A gentleman named Seth Abraham, president of all the boxing of HBO. He said, "Well, we don't do live boxing. They do live. I can't help you." I said, "I'm not here just for boxing. I'm here to bring this network ratings. How are you going to do that? I'm going to put you behind the prison wall in Raleigh State Prison. You mean where they burning it down, the warden got sodomized, and people are dying? You going to get our cameras behind there? Yes, deal." Oh, I could go on and on. But that's how it happened. That's where that money came. So live on HBO for the first time in the history of Time Warner's career, this little with one talent, and we were living in poverty, closed the deal. Now, why did I do it? What was the reason? I didn't care about Scott. I didn't care about what I could do or what I can't do. I wanted to get in the system so I could find my brother. I was looking for Musa. And I thought if I got closer now, I would be able to know, and sure enough, the warden had to like, oh, he's in such. So I used to go everywhere he went to go. He said, "You know where I'm at?" I said, "I find you wherever you go." And I used to go visit, and we'd sit there, and his job was, "Don't you ever come behind these prison walls." I said, "Well, why would I?" Somebody said, "Let me tell you something. When you do wrong, you got fear in you. Everybody look like the white man. Uh-oh, here he come now. Oh, maybe that's him. alert, she said that.
Yes, yes.
So every time we go see him, that was his preaching. Don't you come behind these walls. Well, I decided to make this, I made it so long, CBS, NBC. And I grew up with Howard Cosell. He said, hell no, I'm not bringing no ABC behind a wall of criminals. So he wouldn't do it. But I was doing great. I mean, they was flying all over. My theme was, would you pay to go to jail? Yes, they was paying me to come to jail. And James Scott was unbelievable when he beat Eddie the Gregory the Flame.
Yes.
And I picked him back up, and I felt like I hurted him because after our fight, he had 2 months to get ready to fight for the light heavyweight championship. Same money as if he was fighting for the title. And because Scott hasn't fought in about 3 years, he felt he was going to run through Scott. Oh, Scott made him pay. And so we were in Atlantic City, and the promoter there, Russell Phelps, I heard him arguing with Eddie, because Eddie was the number one contender, but he dropped. So I said, why are you arguing with him? He said, he can't sit here. He's got to pay. I said, he's a contender. I ain't number one no more. I said, my ticket's there? He said, yeah. They give him to Eddie. But Eddie, he came over to me and said, when I take him over, I said, if you listen to me, I'm going to get you there. He did. I said, well, come out of New York. Because that manager, I ain't say beat the manager. I don't do that. Let the manager get his money, but he can't come around you no more. He don't talk to you correctly. So I moved him into New Jersey, and we finally got the number one spot. And we came to number one. Bob Arum offered a great deal of money. And he's going to give Eddie $125,000 for the first fight, $150,000, $575,000 third, and $275,000 for the fourth. And I gave $50,000 for the fight. That was my pick. So I went back to Eddie. I said, okay, you got the title. He said, who's the promoter? I said, Al. Well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to sit at ringside and cheer you. He said, I ain't doing it. If you ain't the promoter, I'm not doing it. I said, man, he would have taken this. He said, nope, I'm not doing it without you. So I went back to Bob Arum, and I said to Bob Arum, Eddie don't want the deal. He jumped up and threw an ashtray over my head, and it broke. He called Eddie all kinds of names. I mean, and I thrust my hand into his eyes while he was standing. And I said, are you God? He sat down and said, no, I'm not God. Don't tell us what we're not going to do. He said, all right, I'll give you $25,000. I called President Mendoza. He said, I can't help you in negotiations, but if you don't fight, he's skipping past Eddie Mustafa. So Eddie said, hey, we take $25,000. So I called Ali, and I said, Ali, I need to camp for Eddie. Eddie came up there and trained up that mountain. Then we went to Minneapolis. I didn't trust Aaron. So we were dealing with Booker, who was Lonnie Shabazz's assistant in cooking. So he cooked all the meals. We had to fast him to make the week. Aaron didn't want me at ringside, so I put Kareem Abdullah, my martial art teacher, and I told him camera. So they did get him. So Eddie was doing good. He was doing good. But there was a hill with Muhammad Ali that he wouldn't climb it. And Kareem would call me and say, he won't climb that mountain. I said, you want me to come? Cause I can get Eddie to do almost anything. So he said, no, I'll get him. And he told me, he finally made the mountain. I said, how did he make it? Freedom Road, and he made that mountain. So I'm talking to Eddie, and he got into the ninth round, and we got cut. And Eddie, we start backing up. And I said, oh, man, he's going to get his fight away. Kareem, use your mouth. You shall not cast round. He's Pharaoh! Pharaoh! And he was coming back. Pharaoh! And now we got going around. Use your mouth. Pharaoh! Because he's right on the apron. And we knocked Johnson out. And that was my first world champion. And he came down in the dressing room. It had to be Baha and then Muhammad. He was the manager. And they named him Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. And that's how he got his name at Muhammad.
Oh, so beautiful. You took me right to the history of the next question. Two important things. How you begin with the networks and how important that training is. So the networks, you went to them with the proposal of, I'm going to create ratings for you. Young people, listen, the first highest gross revenue came from your pay-per-view television platform.
I taught at Benjamin Banneker. Our education that comes from the university. My education came from the university.
Oh.
And my education and studying at Cayenne put me on a very high platform. So when I went to Benjamin Banneker and I read they was number one in science and number two in mathematics, I said, I'm going to have to shock these young men because I know how to talk to children because I'm a child and I know what we're thinking. So I went in there and I said, these are educated, 150 of them. 90% was us and then they had some few foreigners. So I said, okay, I'm going to break you up in quarters. I said, you here on my right, go to Yahoo. Quarter here, you go to Google. This one here, you go to Instagram. This one here, you go this one. So put in my name. And they jumped out of their seats. He's famous. Oh, my God, you see him? And I said, listen, the gift we have is our five senses. Our education comes from man. And man makes mistakes. And man, today, in the public schools, is not going to teach you to be an entrepreneur. They'll teach you how to get a good job. And that's why you're programmed. I need you to speak right now. And that doctor said, no. I'm not doing that. I got to do my research first, and I got to do, that's why they program. Unconsciously, they don't know that they program because they want you to have a social degree. They want you to have a bachelor's degree. They want you to have a master's degree. Yes, a PhD. How about being a doctor? But you, under all rules, we will train you how to stay in your lane. Not the super stuff. Not to come together collectively. No, make you big-headed and think that you don't make mistakes. You're human. I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. That's why we go to Allah. Because we slip. What happened? I don't see that. And I'm trying to get into these kids' heads. Look at me. How did I get to NBC? I will bring you high ratings. Now, they think I'm out of my mind, but ratings is what they want. The highest in the history of the boxing world. Prime time. ABC. NBC. I had a 49. That's a 49 million people when crazy for Larry Holt. So I was known the rating man. They didn't like me. I'm a black Muslim. I got the name Muhammad, and I don't have their degrees. So why would they let me in? Nobody gets rid of an asset. You get rid of dirt. Oh, this one is a bird. He's not doing this right. He's got to go. Oh, he's not doing that, he's not doing that. Oh, he was good for 10 years, but he ain't taking him into 11 years, so kick him off the air. They ain't kick me off the air. They call me, and they want me to come to their network. They want me to bring, just like I did from Showtime, it's in the lowest on the terminal pool that I had when I go to that 117 million. They had nothing. They mean nothing. I'm the one that brought ratings to ESPN because everybody thought that 24 hours is not going to live. But I said, I believe it will. I can go on and on and on, but I do say this to my children. I said, Oprah is known for NBC. 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 And they can't leave those stations. Because if they do, the other stations collectively will shut them down. How is that I, with the name of Russell, and I have to thank my sensei, Ibrahim, because Ibrahim gave me a fifth damn black belt. Now, I want you to know, I was physical. I would destroy you. I don't care how tall, how big, how many muscles, because a muscle in your throat. You can't put a muscle. Wherever there's a nerve, I'm a crack it. And that's why I was Muhammad Ali's bodyguard. Because even though I'm only 5'10", only weighed 160 pounds, sweating, but I would take you out in 3 seconds. My sensei knew that. It's a great martial arts. I beat three senseis in one day. And one night, how about within 1 hour? Three senseis. And including the master, to get my black belt from the mouth. So I was physical. I put you down Elijah Muhammad for 27 Sundays in a row, and no one gave it to me. Me and Yusuf took it. So we took that, folks, because we love the Honorable Muhammad, and I ain't believe no one can beat the Honorable, shoot the Honorable Muhammad, and I would not be able to stop the bullet for a hit. I'm the one that built Patterson. I'm the one that built. I'm the one that they sent all over as being lost and found. Because when Yusuf brought in and he went to see the Amalai Muhammad, I said, how many did you bring in? He said, I did about 300. I said, good. You running next year? Yeah, I'm going to beat you. I brought 300 in one day. One day. He couldn't beat me. One day. And I got, what, 90 more days to go? So he knew he couldn't beat me. So they sent me to go see the Amalai Muhammad. That's a long story. But how do you get in Chicago? Then a lot of you properly release, sir. Took to his up and I'll fight for them. And I said, oh, I was a master drill. I was a master soldier. I was learning that at 10, 11, 12. So when I got to the FLI, none of them could out drill me. So I was always the top. I always wanted to be the best. I always wanted to be number one. I don't like being second. Don King is the number one promoter. Bob Arum is the number two promoter, and they're 90-something years old. I am the promoter, the greatest young promoter of all time. And that's how I saw myself. So when I said to those children, I said, get back into your skin. You was created 400 years of slavery. And today, the ancestor country, this the United States of America, yes, we are new Africa. Mm-hmm. Yes, they came over here and made England, New England. They made New York. I can go on and on. You mean to tell me we ain't new? We don't have that culture overseas. We lost that. 400 years, not one of them came looking for us. Why? We can't give them credit. We can only give credit to God. God lift us up. But what we are doing now, we are now becoming slaves unconsciously. Ooh. And we want what they create. So I told them young kids, I said, think about yourself. Think about your ability. And believe you can be all what you want to be. If I can do it, you can do it. And it's not about money. Money comes, money goes. But your name lives forever. So So when they gave me the banner to watch and work for my wife, and they gave me a banner to cough, and then they asked me to have lunch. I didn't want lunch. I wanted to get the hell out of Washington. But I went to lunch, and my wife and Fitcher was talking. So Fitcher was with me. And Fitcher, matter of fact, I believe she set that up. I want to believe that. She's been with me ever since he was a little kid when he was young. Now, she's like, I'm all a black, And my uncle said two light-skinned people will make ugly babies. So I never liked this picture to be my wife. I love her. We grew up, she came in there she came after me to the, and she was married to Mr. James, son of Thunder Cut. And I was there with all her husbands. I'm going to take care of my sister, Fitcher. I mean, she was just that type of person. But when I sat with them, here comes the mother and the child. Miss Mom, can you teach some more about what my son did? Yeah. Can you teach some more? Yes. Can you teach some more? I mean, where is this? I'm trying to go home. And that's what they did. I wouldn't leave. And so I talked to every last one of them individually. It was a good thing it wasn't 500. It was a good 100 people. So I left it. Now I'm teaching the Quran, what it really means. And these foreign brothers' children, speak the Quran without looking at it. They can read it. Elam, that's their teacher, the Hafiz. They called me to give them what this represents in everyday life. Not once, not twice. They keep calling me for the graduation, and I don't get any calls now. I don't get any calls. When I was a promoter, I was in every school in this state. Call Marat. If someone fell off, call Marat. I don't charge them one nickel. I enjoy teaching our children. I am. The children don't have a mentor. And they're physical. And physical means if you ain't bouncing the ball right, if you ain't knocking grand slams, if you ain't running touchdowns and so far and so on, if you ain't no great actor, if you don't have that, they don't see you. So you got to have something that they can touch first. And what I said to NBC and Bill Cosby, because of ABC with Oprah Winfrey, how could I say ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, Fox Network, ESPN, USA? How could I say closed circuit, pay-per-view, and now streaming, which we're getting ready to do?
That's right.
How am I able to do all this? How am I able to walk into a billionaire's office named Phil Knight, walk in, Salima, and say, Phil, you need me? Now, that man thought I was out of my mind. He said, why do I need you, Ma? You know how much I made? I said, $4.5 billion. What a B. He said, yes. So why do I need you? I said, you don't if you're complacent. And I left. He called me back a week later. I said, Phil, you need me now, huh? He said, you may can help me. I want to introduce you to someone. I said, who are you, young man? I'm Michael Choi. Me, Michael Choi. I know the face. I don't know the likeness. I'm glad to meet you, Mike. And all children want to be like Mike. I said, what can I do for you? He said, I want to launch a brand. I said, what kind of brand? Jordan brand. What is it attached to? Nike? Yes, Nike Jordan brand. Why did I say yes? Why did I say yes? I'm going to take the great Michael Jordan and make him a billionaire. Why would I be able to do that? Because Budweiser was on my wrist. That young man you sent me, Budweiser don't go in his living room. Budweiser don't go in no child's bedroom. They can't put Budweiser in the bedrooms of the children. So when people came to me and said, Mark, Were you in the beer company? I said, no. Why? You watched the fight? Yeah. Well, that's going to make you drunk. Don't watch off my ring mat. I don't have a replacement for it. And if I had a replacement and I choose Budweiser, now you could come against me. I don't have a choice. Say the king of beer. When I told Jordan, I will make you a billionaire, he did. He said, what did I do? I said, put the junk man, this emblem, in the center of my ring, so I can tell Budweiser who pays me $1.5 million to fight to get off my ring. He said, deal. Yeah, that's what I do. And so how is it that Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, sent this big plane in Peterborough Airport with my wife, and she was so in awe because she loves football. She was so in awe, she didn't even take a picture of the plane and me walking in that plane. Well, I in Hollywood, me kidding it. But okay, I go in and I'm flying in the air with a great, looks like a living room and a big kitchen. And I'm there with Bill Parcell. I said, Bill, I love you, Bill. You take care of those black players, football players, which he has, and he wanted to go, the Super Bowl with him. So I said, Bill, where you go? You go to meet Jerry? He said, yes. He said, I said, what are you paying? He said, $25 million. He said, Rod, how do you feel? I'm Italian from the inner city, and you're African American in the inner city. We're on the plane with one of the richest men in this country. I said, I feel good. All right, so we land. I'm following him. He said, no, Rod, you ain't with me. I said, what do you mean I'm not with you? He said, I'm with the son. You with the father. I said, he's giving you $25 million. Yeah, but he don't come down on this level. So I meet Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is driving. I'm sitting with Jerry Jones in the front. And this man kept me there for 9 hours saying how he wanted to be my partner. But how I see things, he was in one ear with a phone, the next ear with a phone, and I said, yeah, I'm going home and tell my wife. She had to stop telling me to stay off the phone. You got two phones in your ear. And one, I went belly up. I said, what is that? I lost all wealth for $125 million. I said, what are you doing it up here? Buying another all wealth for $125 million. And I said, whoa, Salima, Allah is showing me we can make billions too, man, on that level. But I believe that he wouldn't introduce me to this unless he's showing me what you can do, what we can do. And the key factor is, you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. If we will come together, and that's what I asked Mr. Farrakhan, and Mr. Farrakhan said, I'm with Marad. Marad, you don't have to question whether he's emotional, and he is loved by the people out there that make things happen. So I will do whatever Marad says you are. I said, very nice. And we will come together and put 2 million of us together and move on our command. I will show you $1 billion, not $100, $1 billion, no less than 6 months. Every 6 months, that's too big. And all it is that we need, what, $100 from it. Do the math. 2 million times 100. Mm. This is so simple, so easy. But because Satan has separated us, we are so separated that the imams believe that the man was talking about go for yourself. No, he was trying to say if we all come under one umbrella, they will crush us all at one time. So be independent in your message. Be independent in your message. But he didn't say be independent in you to come to me first. You don't separate the human race because you are trying to be a caliber, no such thing as a single man being a caliber. Caliber's man and woman. It sounds like female right there, so you can't leave her out. We're the caliber. And the woman, as I get when I raise all these millions of dollars for these fallen brothers, I say, don't you know you get judged just like us? You sin just like us. And your charity, your sakat, Your sadaka is how you make it to heaven. So you want, if you got that $1 million in your pocket, you can't be cheap because you say you're a female. Can't have your cake and eat it too. Allah doesn't judge you as a man or a woman. He judges your heart. Ask that heart, is it a man or a woman? Ask that man that's dying, that got a heart for a woman. Oh, can you tell me, did that come from a woman or did it come from a man? He ain't written on that heart whether it's male or female, fool. It's a human heart. So we don't understand that. And what's happening in this world right now, Satan and Taurus separate. Oh, I don't like this Farrakhan. How the hell you don't like this Farrakhan? And he's in his 90s, stronger than both of all of you. And he's still here. And he still speaks. And he has an organization that these brothers and sisters is benefit. You can't be an E-man. You got all the money. You got all the community's money. But the community is broke. Ah, that's not being leadership. That's being selfish. That's being hypocritical. I can't call you a hypocrite because you ain't wise enough to be a hypocrite. You ain't Satan, but you're an enemy of Satan. So my success comes from Quran. Allah says 2, 3, or 4 Christian bigotry. But I will not take offense for it. But she's gorgeous. I can't take it. She's lovely. I can't take it. She got money. She wants to be it. I cannot take it because Allah says 2, 3, or 4 Allah says we both be one Ummah. Oh, you forgot that. I tell all those foreign emails. You think you're over here in this country because you woke up and said, I'm going to make money? No. We can't go to Russia. We can't go to China. We can't go to Korea. We can't go to any one of those foreign countries. Allah bless you all here. All we got to do is ride down the street. We're in Disneyland. We're in Chinaland. We're in all of the people around the globe here. And that's why America is going to be successful. You want to kill the Jews? Go to Israel. You want to kill the Christians? Go to the Vatican. If you want to kill the Muslims, go to Saudi Arabia. But over here, if you kill any one of us, whether it's Muslims, Christians, Hindus, from all parts of the world, is here. That's what Allah wants, humanity. But we don't understand that. Yes,
right. Oh, great. Oh, my goodness, we must have you back. You just wrapped that up so beautifully.
Oh,
John,
so important.
We're going to bring you back.
You know, Selena, I like you. I like your way. And I like your style. But you're so cheap, I'm not going to be back for a while.
Oh, no, man. You know, we have so much to talk about in the future, women entrepreneurship. We have so many things to speak about. Oh, I have a plan for you. Okay, listen. This program to the listening audience is sponsored by New Africa Excellent Mirage Speaks. Thank you for joining us today. You can reach me at Salima, SalimaMoh77@gmail.com. Uncle Mirage, where can they reach you?
They can get me and Mirage. Mirage.yahoo. AskMirage.yahoo.com. And you can reach me. Or call you. Give them your number.
That sounds perfect. We've had such a beautiful, inspiring energy today. And I thank Allah for blessing this community with you. I thank Allah for the guidance that you give our youth.
I want to interrupt you. I want to interrupt you, and I don't mean to do this, but the angel said it to me. You mentioned the first child ever been in my life.
Oh.
In my life, Jesus was to have. And he brought her up. Sahara is the one that I learned from my wife how you raise a child.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you again. We'll be back a lot. This has been outstanding. Outstanding for all. And we thank you. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next week. Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful Saturday.
How is everything?
I'm so sorry.